First Corinthians chapter 13, our verses last time that we looked at this passage was verses 4 through 7. We look at these things. We saw that charity is not meant to be an intellectual study, but rather should be practiced and experienced. It's not supposed to be, I understand this word. I'm supposed to understand this word by living it. We saw that charity in the scripture is not defined, but it's rather demonstrated. We see pictures of what charity produces. We don't see its definitions. Scripture shows us what charity produces, how it helps those who have put it on to think and to see others. And without charity, we see things very differently than we ought. I appreciate the messages that we've you cannot exhaust a great subject like charity, but the more that you have charity, the more it changes your perception of what's going on. And a lot of times people, when I see things in the wrong light, it's because of a lack of charity. I missed it. I saw it as it pertained to me instead of as it pertained to the body. That's a problem of charity. And so it's important that we see this. We also saw in Colossians chapter 3, verse 14, the Bible told us a command above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. You look at Christianity, spiritual walk, life of a believer, the glue that holds all that together, the bond, if you will, is charity. That's so important for us. And as we look at these things, look with me one more time at verses 4 through 7. We're not really going to focus on this, but use it as a springboard this afternoon. The Bible tells us, verse 4, charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. And as we look at this, we don't emphasize each of these things as something we need to do. Rather, we find charity is the answer to why sometimes we struggle to perform that which we know to do. I don't know why I can't be long-suffering, why I can't handle this, why I can't return kindness. Well, the answer isn't kindness, and the answer isn't long-suffering, and the answer isn't bearing all things. The answer is charity. Put some charity inside. All of that stuff just falls in place. Praise God. What is wonderful is that the Apostle Paul, he actually taught on each of these things. I mean, there are many verses in the Bible on being long-suffering. There are many verses. I mean, he told them right before he told them above all these things in the book of Colossians chapter 3. Before he said that, he said, put on brotherly kindness. And he told them how to be long-suffering. All of those things. But he said, above all, put charity. Why above all that? Because charity will put all the rest of it in there. That's what we need. I just need charity. Puts the rest of it in place. And praise God, we can move on. I love the simplicity of the scripture, because while we should work on individual things, there is answers to the Bible, if you will, a shortcut. It's kind of a shortcut. It's kind of not. But at the same, the shortcut to having a successful Christian life is walking in the Spirit. Right? That's a shortcut, if you can say it that way. Right? Well, I want to have love, and I want to have joy, and I want to have peace. And walk in the Spirit. There it is. Charity is the same answer. So many things are answered with charity. But we don't want to look at what it is again. Instead, this afternoon, we'd like to look at how to have it. And really, Brother Daniel already gave us so much. We're going to look at a lot of what he's covered. But I believe that that's just the Lord emphasizing truth and how much we need it. How do I have charity? How do I put on what God told me to put on? Isn't it wonderful that God didn't dangle charity like a carrot that you could never get? He didn't say, put on charity. Psych, not possible. We live like it's not possible, but it is absolutely possible. We look at it like it's this height that cannot be reached. It is a height. We're going to see that in a minute. It's the height of Christianity. It is the pinnacle of spiritual life, charity. But it's not unattainable. We can have charity. That's why he told us to have it. On our way to where we're going, look at Titus chapter 2. Titus chapter 2, and we'll work through some scriptures this afternoon. I pray it be a help to you. It sure has been a help to me. Titus chapter 2, verse 11, the Bible says, "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men." Isn't that wonderful news? Teaching us, we heard this last night, that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. I heard said last night, "Lord, I do not want to be ashamed at the coming of Christ." Help us to be Christians that are looking forward to his coming. Well, not today, Lord. Oh, will you imagine a life where you don't want the coming of Christ? Well, the Bible says that the grace of God teaches us to look for the coming of Christ. Notice verse 14, speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ, he says, "Who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works." When the Lord saved you, if you were saved in here this afternoon, he saved you to redeem you from iniquity. Salvation, church, is from sin. I thank God I don't have to go to hell. Praise the Lord. I'm not going to go to hell. But I've been saved from it's not the result that I was saved from. It's the cause. The sin will send you to hell. He saved me from the sin. But he didn't stop there. The Bible told us in verse 14, he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself. How do I have charity? Brother Daniel pointed out so clearly, you don't. He does it. He meant, when he saved you, he meant to give you that. He meant for his people to walk a certain way and talk a certain way. Brother Nathan Brown told us that last night. What a blessing. He has the right to dictate how we live, does he not? Isn't it wonderful he has a right to dictate how we live, and then he enables and gives us the ability to do it? Once again, it's not a carrot that's unattainable. It's absolutely attainable, and it's his power that makes it possible. We miss it when we say, "Oh, I just can't do it." Yeah, we can. But it's him that does it. And that's the beauty of verse 14. He wants to redeem us from all iniquity. He wants to purify to himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. I'm not going to preach this, but guys, peculiar doesn't always mean weird. He didn't intend that every child of God be a weirdo on the planet. Okay, peculiar means belonging to one. He wanted to own you. He didn't want to share you with your flesh and with the world and with the devil. He wants you to be his. That's what peculiar means. That's just a fun fact. Go to Second Peter. We work what God wants to do in us. We go to 2 Peter. God wants to do some things in our life, but he wants us to contribute. The things that the Lord does, he wants us to be involved in. Right? Just like we mentioned, walking in the Spirit produces love, joy, peace, long-suffering, and such. But it requires that I get involved. I have got to walk in the Spirit. I have got to do my part. I have got to die to the flesh. I have to do that in order to get the benefits that come from being in the Spirit. Well, the same is true with charity. I want charity. Okay, so how do I get charity? Well, first, I understand that it's not me. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. And second, I got to get to that point. And I've got to build to that point. Look at me at 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 4. Peter speaking here says, "Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature." Once again, that's God changing my Adamic nature into his divine nature. That's wonderful. "Having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust." That goes back to purifying unto himself peculiar people. Look at verse 5. "And beside this, giving all diligence." Now, that's not something he does. That's something we do. He's already done his part. Now, I have got to be diligent to do mine. I want charity. I see we can't sit in a week like this one and not hear all we hear about charity and not think, I need that. Right? I got to have that. That's important. How do I expect to live the Christian life in a Christian way, glorifying my Savior without charity? It can't be done. I need it. So he says, give all diligence. Add to your faith virtue. So you start with something. The Bible says without faith it is impossible to please him. But I've got to add to that virtue. And to virtue, knowledge. And to knowledge, temperance. And to temperance, patience. And to patience, godliness. A lot of people like to leave out godliness. It's in there. If you remember, we just read in Titus chapter 2. It's the grace of God that teaches us we ought to live godly. But that's a part of what we add. And it builds to a point. We add to that. We add to godliness, brotherly kindness. We add to brotherly kindness, charity. We add to charity. What do you add to charity? It can't be the pinnacle if there's something after that. That's the top. That's the goal. I add to charity nothing. Because can we say that's where we've arrived? I'm not going to say where all of those who have charity have arrived. We can still grow in charity. But if I have charity, I have no more need to add to brotherly kindness. That falls under charity. I have no need to pursue kindness because it's part of it. I have no need to pursue other things because it falls under the umbrella of charity. When I have charity, I have everything. I start to become what I ought to be. It's the place where we're trying to get. But notice what he says in the next verse. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. What is the goal? As I believe the secret to charity, if you can call it a secret, not a secret right in the Bible, but I believe the proper method to have charity is a knowledge of Jesus Christ. He said, you add to your faith virtue, and you add to your, and you go to charity. And if you have these things, what did he say was the goal? You're not barren or unfruitful in your knowledge of Jesus Christ. Like, that's the point. Charity is a result of knowing the Lord Jesus Christ. Yeah. It comes because I have, you know, we mentioned yesterday, the Bible tells us that evil communications corrupt good manners. The Bible tells us that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. If that is true, and if I expose myself to bad influences and they influence me for bad, as they would, what happens when I spend time with Jesus? We just heard of the charity of Christ. If I spend time with Christ, it might just wear off. I can't look at it as an intellectual study. I have to look at it as, I want to know Christ so that what's in Christ can be in me and flow through me. I can't even begin to be a part or a help to my church if I don't have Christ and his love and his compassion and his charity. I'm just warming a pew until I start to know him. Look at the end of the book. Look at chapter 3. Apostle Peter, one of my favorite people in the Bible. I know he struggled. That's why I love him. I can relate to Peter. I know what it's like to say, Lord, I'm not denying you. And then look back and think, well, what just happened? I know that. I'm not proud. It's not me bragging. Look at verse 18. But grow in grace. The word grace in this context means virtuous or religious affection or disposition as liberal disposition. Webster gives examples of graces saying faith, meekness, humility, patience, charity. These are graces that we are supposed to be growing in. Understand, we're supposed to grow in grace. I know grace of God is what brings salvation. Understand that. But the context of verse 18 is growing in attributes of grace. Well, I want to grow in faith, but I want to grow in meekness, and I want to grow in humility. All of those things come when I grow in charity. So the command was to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I cannot even begin to start to grow in charity, start to develop charity until I know Jesus Christ. And I don't mean that. I'm like Brother Daniel. When Paul said that, we're going to look at it in a minute again. But when he says that I may know him, we understood that probably he knew Christ more than anyone. But what is his pursuit? I want to know more. Well, I can't just know him a little. I want to know him more. I don't want to have just a little charity. Think, well, I've got a little charity, so I'm good. No, I want more. There are wonderful things. Discontentment is a sin. Until you look at you and realize, I better not be content with my charity. I better not be content with where I am with Christ. Discontentment for possessions is a sin. But shame on us if we're ever content with our spiritual walk. Go further. Climb higher. Get closer. That's the idea, right? So he says, grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen. I love it. Everything that we do ought to be bringing glory to Christ. Everything. You don't begin to have charity if your life is to bring glory to you. We've looked at that already. Now take your Bible and go to Philippians. Philippians chapter 3. So the Apostle Peter showed us charity comes alongside of knowing the Lord Jesus Christ, understanding Christ, having a relationship with Christ. You're not going to get that coming to church on Sunday morning and then going home for the rest of the week. A relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ that will build in us charity is a faithful, committed relationship. I've noticed through the years that I can start to think about what my wife is going to say about certain things. We've been married about 15 years. And I know how she's going to react to certain things. Why? Because we have a relationship. She surely knows what I'm going to do. When certain things happen, my children know. Well, I know what Dad's going to say. I've got people in the church I pastor that remember old Tony and think I'm still going to behave that way. My family have grown with me and realized he's not still that guy. But how does that happen? Because you start to know people. You live with them. They're a part of your life. You spend time with them. You speak with them. How do I know Christ? Same way. He's not a figment of our imagination that we preach about to convince you that he exists. You can speak with him. And he will speak to you. And you can tell him how you're feeling. And he tells you what he wants you to do. He tells you how to behave. And he tells you how to respond. And he tells you how to care for people. All of that is built in a relationship with Jesus Christ. Look at me, please, at Philippians chapter 3. Look at verse 3. The reason I start here is because the end of the verse is so important. For we are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. This is a present tense statement. He didn't say I currently have no confidence in this flesh. We're doing a whole conference on charity. How much charity can you and I produce? Fat zero. None. It's not going to happen. It's him. If you have confidence in your flesh that you can handle the next thing, you are going to fall on your face. Trust me, I've done it. But he says, we have no confidence in the flesh. Then verse 4, though I might also have confidence in the flesh. If any other man thinketh he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more, O Paul. That's Aaron. It is. Look what he said. Circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, the tribe of Benjamin, and Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law of Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. As far as religion was concerned, he made it. As far as the law was concerned, I'm here. Blameless. Blameless is what every Christian should be, but it's not what every Christian is. Paul said, in my life, you think you can trust in your flesh? I bet I can beat you. That's what he said. I was blameless. He said, concerning zeal, persecuting the church. That's amazing. Look at verse 7. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. We just heard this. How important is this? He didn't say, I count them loss for the sake of Christ, and that's it. Notice what he says. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord. Does that sound like what Peter said, that we're supposed to be growing? He said, I so wanted to grow in the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord that I took everything that was profitable in this life and I threw it away. Dung. Why do you use that word, Paul? Because nobody goes back to dung. Right? People are like, oh, I counted it like my old record collection. A lot of people go back to that. You're not going to find anybody who goes back to dung. It's a good choice of words. He did it on purpose. Right? But he did, I want to know, for the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, from whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ and be found in him, not having my own righteousness. Why? Because I couldn't trust in my flesh. I don't want my own righteousness. I want his, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, verse 10, that I may know him. It's one thing to have knowledge of Christ Jesus. It's another thing to have knowledge in Christ Jesus. There's a lot of people who know his name. Oh, I heard of him. But do you know him? Just this week, I've heard so many preachers' names I've never heard before. And I hear people been in this a lot longer than I have. I've heard of him. I've heard that name before, but I've never met him. The whole world is full of people who have heard of Jesus Christ. Paul said, yeah, I had a little knowledge of Christ, and I threw everything away because I want to know him. I don't want to know of him. I want to know him. How do I get charity? Know Christ. Make it personal. Make it real. Make it be your life. You'll start to get charity. Now, he says in verse 10 that I may know him and the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. The word conformable means that which can be formed. I want to be such that God can do whatever he wants. You want me to be something different today? I'll be something different today. How do you want to form me, Lord? What do you want me to do? Now, why could he say that? And when he said it, it's so relevant. Because he said it in the context of understanding Jesus Christ. Here's why. Jesus Christ was that. Go back one chapter, chapter 2. I told you, Brother Daniel took on my verse. And, will you? But it's okay. We'll use them again. Chapter 2. Verse 2, the Bible says here, Paul speaking to the church of Philippi again, says, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. What does it take to do that? Charity. You want to be of one accord, of one mind, it takes charity. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than himself. What does it take to do that? Charity. We're going to hear charity so much, we're going to have PTSD for the word charity. Amen. That's what the society is telling us, is it not?
Yeah.
It's too much. It's not enough. He says here in verse 4, look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Now, I know how we can read that. And you say, don't you worry, Pastor. I'm not worried about me. I am worried about everybody else. I'm more concerned about what they're doing than what I'm doing. I'm more concerned about their walk with God than my walk with God. That's not what he meant. I know that's how we can read it. That's not what he meant. He meant the betterment of someone else. Don't be so concerned about your good. What about someone else? And he follows that up with the example of examples. Look at verse 5. Let this mind be in you. Don't you wish you could have a mind transplant? You can't. You can't. You're told to. It's not the fact that these things can't be done. It's the fact that we won't do them. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, John 1, verses 1 through 3, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him. Without him was not anything made that was made. Verse 14, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. That's Jesus Christ. God, who spoke the universe into existence, walked in the flesh. Not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation. I don't need a reputation. You know what the Bible told us in 1 Corinthians chapter 13? Seeketh not her own. Charity seeketh not her own. Jesus Christ did not seek his own. He didn't care that people knew that he was God. He didn't come and say, I want to be born in Herod's house. I want a silk bed. He was laying in a manger. The God of creation in a manger with the animals. He didn't care. It wasn't about him. How is it not about him? He's all in all. By him, all things consist. But when he was here, the example he set was, it's not about me. It was about us. It was about pleasing the Father. He read in Hebrews chapter 12, the Bible says, who for the joy that was set before him. He looked ahead and saw fellowship with the Father restored. And he counted that joy. Despising the shame. Look what he says. No reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men, being found in fashion as a man. He's already humble. He's a man. If you're God, what is a man? Is that lower than a cockroach? If you're God, in our minds, we're it, right? This everything is us. But if you're God, what is a man? The Bible says he took upon him not just a form of a servant. It emphasized past that and said, and man. Like that's to God, that's lower than a servant is to us. He says, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. That is the mind of Jesus Christ. That sets the example for charity. Complete, utter selflessness. Nothing was about it. In fact, the Bible tells us in John chapter 5, verse 30, Jesus speaking said, I can of mine own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just because I seek not mine own will, but the will of the Father which hath sent me. We have a problem in Christianity where we want to do the will of God, but we want to do it our way. That's not the will of God. It's a failure. It's a failure because the example that Jesus Christ set was that this, it blows my mind. I cannot wrap my mind around this. Jesus said, I came not to do mine own will. That means his will was different. He had a will that's different. In the Garden of Gethsemane, he said, Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not mine. His will was different. The problem we have where we fail to have charity is that we think, well, I want that. I just don't want it if it costs me. I want my brother to be better. I just don't want to. I don't want to. I want to sacrifice what I want to get that. Jesus did. He said, I don't care what my will is. I'm not here to do that. You know what a church would look like? Full of people who said, I don't care what my will is, what's it? Wow. Is that not, I mean, just, I get chills just thinking about it. I think it's possible. I know it's a stretch, but there's a power of God inside of every saved person that makes things possible. This isn't something that's undoable. He set the example. Go to Romans. We're almost done. Go to Romans chapter 15. Taking us back a little bit. In Philippians chapter 2, we read, look not every man on his own thing, but every man also on the things of others. And we see the idea of charity demonstrated in that passage and the example of Jesus Christ given for us. We see here in Romans chapter 15, verse 1, the Bible says, we then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves. We saw that Jesus Christ set that example. He goes on, says, let every one of us please his neighbor for his good to, there's that word again, for his good to edification. I tried not to say this again and again. Charity is not about me. It's about the church. How can I edify the church? How can I help my brother and sister? How can I encourage them? How can I provoke them to love and to good works? How can I help? I can help when I get out of my way. Verse 3. For even Christ pleased not himself. That's amazing. He said, let every one of us please his neighbor for his good to edification. What's the example there? Well, Christ did it. Could you do it for Christ? I don't even know what I was preaching on last week, but I asked that question. Could you do it for Jesus? We say, well, I can't. I'm not going to sacrifice what I want to do for that brother. Would you do it for Christ? He sacrificed himself for you. What about him? What about what he wants? What about the fact that this is his body? It is for Christ when it's for the body. It's his body. A lot of times we can't get over ourselves. To have charity, we must get it from the source of all charity, Jesus Christ. Brother Croft did a wonderful job yesterday reading, as Brother Daniel mentioned, reading each Jesus suffered long his kind. Jesus envieth not. Jesus vaunteth not himself, is not puffed up. Doth not behave himself unseen. Seeketh not his own. Is not easily provoked. Thinketh no evil. Rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. Beareth all things. Believeth all things. Hopeth all things. Endureth all things. Jesus never faileth. Jesus never faileth. Church, charity never faileth because it's Christ. Paul told the church at Colossae, the mystery, the great mystery was Christ in you, the hope of glory. Hope is in Christ. Charity, it's in Christ. So how do I get charity? Get a hold of Christ. Get a hold of his thought process. Let him affect you more than the world affects you. And you can't do that 1 hour a week. Never is going to happen. It takes a relationship with him, spending time with him, getting to know him, and you'll find, you'll start to understand where he's coming from. I've told our church many times, I don't know everything there is to know about God. But for some crazy reason, I can spot a lie when I hear one. Why? I know enough about him to know that that's not true. You might not know me, but you could probably learn something about me in a week's time that would say, I know that's not true. That's a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ that says, I know enough about him to know that that's not what you would have me do. I know enough about his character to know what he would do and how he would handle this and how I ought to in turn handle this. How much it will cost. We know this. He read it. 2 Corinthians 8:9. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor. He did that for us, that we through his poverty might be rich. Rich in love. Rich in everything. All spiritual blessings, specifically charity. I can have that because of Christ. Church, our failure in the Christian life is the effect of our failure to know Christ. Our failure in charity is our failure to understand him. It is not an intellectual knowledge of a word. It's a person.